come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one of these topics. My next guest believes we're looking at the energy problem completely backwards. We don't have an energy crisis. We have a consumption crisis. We'll examine his views contained in his book, Green Illusions. Ozzie Zehner is a visiting scholar at the University of California at Berkeley. Ozzie's primary research is social, political, and economic conditions influencing energy policy priorities and project outcomes. His work will incorporate symbolic roles in the energy technology plays within the political and environmental movements as well. He also serves as on the editorial board of Critical Environmentalism. Interesting enough, he has a lot of interests, research interests, one of which is forgeries. If we have time, we'll certainly ask him about that. Ozzie attended Kettering University for his undergraduate degree and the University of Amsterdam, where he got his master's degree. He lives in Washington, D.C. and in San Francisco, joining us from San Francisco. Ozzie, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I want to start in kind of an interesting place. Let's examine the Toyota Prius, the hybrid gas electric car. Supposedly, this is a better for the environment. Certainly, owners of the Prius feel very smug about their contribution to saving the planet. But are they? I mean, if you take a look at the battery in the Prius, it's quite toxic. It requires all kinds of environmentally unfriendly mining operations to get the heavy metals that go into that battery. And it poses significant disposal issues at the end of the battery's lifespan. The car itself is heavily subsidized by the government. Up until just a few months ago, every buyer of the car got $7,500 back from we, the taxpayers. And the resale value of the car will be diminished because of advances in battery technology. I mean, who wants to buy a Prius with an old battery when new battery technologies are advancing head over foot? So in what ways does buying a Prius really feed into the delusion about green energy and green technologies?
Well, yeah, you bring up some great points there. And I think that these are just starting to come to the surface in the environmental movement. And I'm really curious to see where it heads. Because right now, electric cars have a strong environmental symbolic value, and I don't think that's going to hold for very much longer. And that's because environmentalists generally stand against battery-powered devices because they require mined minerals, like you said, and leave behind even worse trail of toxins upon disposable. But when it comes to the largest mass-produced gadget ever created that contains batteries, the electric car, it seems like environmentalists cannot jump from their seats fast enough to applaud it. And I used to be in that group, but I'm not anymore. And that's because as I've looked at this more closely, I found that actually electric vehicles do not eliminate the negative side effects of vehicular travel. They simply move the problems elsewhere. And often where they end up, those problems, is in contexts where they are more opaque and difficult to address.
Well, talk to me about just charging the car. Yes, the car uses less gasoline, less fossil fuels are burned in the automobile itself. But talk about this transfer, because if I have to charge the car at my home, I'm using electricity that is generated at a power plant, usually a coal-burning power plant, somewhere else. So we're using fossil fuels. We've just transferred that from buying it at the gas station to generating it at a power plant. How is that better for the environment?
Well, it depends. On the fuel stage, there's two kinds of stages when we look at the energy impact of a vehicle, the direct energy impact of a vehicle. The first stage is the amount of energy that's needed to construct the vehicle. And so as soon as you drive the vehicle off the lot, you've already kind of accounted for that amount of energy that was used to construct it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fueling step, and that takes, you know, a decade of fuel going into the car over its lifespan. And so in the fuel step, it's about a wash. It looks like it might be a little bit better, it might be a little bit worse, depending on where you live. This is according to an analysis that was recently done by the Union of Concerned Scientists. But the bigger story here is in that first chunk. The larger chunk is actually at the beginning of the construction of the vehicle. That chunk of energy that's used to construct the vehicle is much larger than the amount of energy that's used over the lifespan of fueling the vehicle. And so when we look at that large chunk in the beginning, it's worse for electric vehicles. And an analysis by the National Academies concludes that the environmental damage stemming from grid-dependent hybrids and electric vehicles will be about the same or a little worse than that of traditional gasoline vehicles until at least 2030. And that's even when they assume that there will be favorable technological advances in battery technologies and the motor technologies that are in electric cars.
Hmm. Fascinating. My guest is Ozzie Zinner. He's author of the book Green Illusions, The Dirty Secrets of Clean Energy and the Future of Environmentalism, Our Sustainable Future. Now, Ozzie, our current administration eschews oil and gas exploration in favor of quote-unquote green energies, something that you call in the book the alternative energy fetish. Explain why you're not anti-environmental per se, but you show ways in which we have to change our energy system in order to make some of these technologies work.
Well, yeah, and Green Illusions is a critique of alternative energy, but from an environmental perspective. And I argue that alternative energy technologies have side effects and limitations. And so Green Illusions is kind of an invitation that says, hey, why don't you come over here and look behind the curtain? There's some things going on you'd probably like to know about. And I write about the disadvantages of technologies like solar cells and electric cars. But I compare them to better solutions, such as a walkable and bikeable neighborhood design human rights, issues of material consumption, and governance. So I try to look at some first steps of the way that we can move forward past the kind of roadblocks that are in the future if we continue down the road of looking at solar cells and electric vehicles as solutions.
Well, Ozzie, I mean, your book is really an indictment of Levittown. And for those of you who don't know, Levittown, New York, was the very first subdivision of New York. It was first developed right after World War II, I believe it was 1947. And that began our mass migration to suburbia and moving into larger homes with longer driving distances, longer commutes. Here in Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and Ventura, we know all about those long commutes. So your book is, we need to turn back the pages on that. We need to get to more mixed-use living, et cetera. So talk us through that a little bit, if you will, please.
Yeah, well, you know, a good example of that is going through the transportation bill right now, and that is the Safe Routes to School program. And this is, you know, just like one narrow aspect of the walkability and bikeability initiatives that I talk about. And the Safe Routes to School program builds walkable and bikeable networks around schools in California, but also throughout the whole country. And it has been incredibly successful. And in pilot programs, the number of students arriving by cars actually dropped by over a third. And the problem here is that this is the one thing that looks like in the new transportation bill might be in jeopardy of being cut. And meanwhile, it's not being cut to save money, incidentally. It's being cut so that the money can be transferred over to more car-centric development. And so these are the kinds of trade-offs that we have to be able to look at and say, I wonder if we should be spending more money on highways or if we should be preserving this already tiny, tiny amount of money that we're spending on safe routes to school, walkable and bikeable neighborhoods that will probably end up being a more durable solution into the future. And like you've mentioned, in places like Ventura and the larger metropolitan area surrounding L.A., there are already very strong strong sets of coordinated housing and businesses that are already existing that are very spread very far away from one another. So walkable and bikeable neighborhoods will not be a complete solution, but it's just one of the things that we can add to make our transportation system a little bit more durable in the future as we ultimately run into probably more energy volatility as we move forward.
My guest is Ozzie Zinner, author of the book Green Illusions. Now, Ozzie, if I'm reading your book correctly, at the heart of the energy consumption problem is really population and population growth. So help connect the dots for us. How does our current population of about 7 billion people on planet Earth impact our consumption patterns, our cultural values, our civic engagements, and relate to the issue of energy?
Well, yeah, this is the real big question, and this is a question that I approach in Green Illusions. I don't propose to know the answer to this. This is a really touchy subject, actually, because the environmental movement does not have such a shiny reputation for dealing with issues of population in the past. It's been linked occasionally to some pretty suspicious population reduction strategies and things like that, especially in the 60s and 70s. So I kind of trace the history about what has happened, why that hasn't worked, and then also the kind of debates that are going on currently. And we know that population can grow exponentially, and we know that economies can grow exponentially. But ultimately, we're going to find that the resources from the Earth and the Earth itself cannot grow exponentially. And so as long as we live on a finite planet, we're going to have to learn to live with a finite supply of a lot of different things that we're not having to deal with now because the population is still small enough that we haven't reached those limits.
But Ozzy, technology has always brought us to the next level. I mean, historically, just to use fossil fuels as an example, in the 1970s, we were told we were going to run out of fossil fuels by the year 2000. Clearly, that didn't happen. By the 1990s and the early 2000s, we were told we only have a little bit more oil. But we're finding new ways of developing oil and gas. Won't technology bring us out of the situation that you're talking about?
Yeah, actually, technology will bring us quite a long way. And we're already seeing new types of technology, technologies being introduced for fracking technologies and things like that. And so the problem is that we're getting already to the end of the easy oil and the end of the easy natural gas, and we're having to look for the more difficult stuff. And so I don't actually think it's very wise for people in the environmental movement to point out that, you know, we're going to run out of oil at this particular time or that particular time. I actually agree with you that we're probably not going to run out. I think the technologies are going to increase the amount of oil and gas that we can extract, but the problem is that the price of that extraction is going to go up. And so really what I'm looking at is what happens when the price of oil doubles or triples in the future. Not that we'll necessarily run out of it or that the spigot will run dry, but trying to think about what is the volatility, what kind of issues could arise from energy volatility that the technologies jerking forward might not be able to address completely.
There were certainly enough dead dinosaurs to give us a lot of oil. There's no doubt about it. I guess the answer is to own oil and gas stocks for the future. My guest is Ozzy Zehner. Ozzy, let me ask you a question a little bit more practical, if I can, for just a minute, because T. Boone Pickens has a plan where he proposes converting our trucking fleet to run on natural gas. Now, to accomplish this would require tax incentives from the government to convert our entire over-the-road trucking fleet, but this tax incentive would be far less money than we're wasting in loan guarantees to solar companies like Solyndra and others that are out there. Does this plan make sense environmentally or economically in your mind?
Well, you know, I think that there are better options because if we're going to be funding anything, I don't think that we should be funding car culture. I think that we should be funding things like walkable and bikeable neighborhoods like the Safe Routes to School program. So if we're looking at the trade-offs there, I think that we should be looking other places. But whether or not I think that this will happen, I think there's a good chance that we're going to see natural gas take a larger role. And there's many ways that natural gas can take a larger role. And I think that we have to be both prepared for that and then accepting that the economics of it are likely going to bring us there sooner than a lot of people are expecting. And another area, not only in vehicular travel directly, that is running cars directly on natural gas, which looks like it could potentially be a viable possibility. But natural gas is also used to a large extent for extracting the oil out of tar sands in Canada.
Yes.
So as the tar sands in Canada, as the growth in that industry continues, we're going to see more natural gas sent up there as well. So the market for natural gas is going to be growing, not just because of automotive use directly, but also bypassed through the tar sands in Canada and then down into oil that will be used for vehicular travel.
All right, Ozzy, let me ask you the classic question that every environmentalist, I'm sure, gets asked, and that is, does global warming exist? And if it does, is it caused by human intervention?
Well, that's a good question that I get a lot. And, the best science that we have today says that it is caused by humans and that it is occurring. And I realize a touchy topic, and it's become kind of a politically divisive topic because people kind of choose one side or the other and then fight very strongly for it. And so, you know, there's an excellent book that came out on this that explains kind of the history of how the debate on climate change arose. And I really thought that was an intriguing book called Merchants of Doubt by Naomi Oreskes and Eric Conway.
Okay. That's a great book, and we'd recommend people getting it. But if people are intrigued, Ozzy, by what you've got to say, they want to learn more about your book, Green Illusions, The Dirty Secrets of Clean Energy, and The Future of Environmentalism, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to the website, greenillusions.org, and they will find more information about the book there, and then also some extras that they can download, like the first chapter for free.
Green Illusions, and it is a .org, so greenillusions.org. Ozzy, thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much, Bill.